WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Architect Andres Duwani designs new communities modeled after traditional small towns. His company has designed over 30 new towns and urban projects, including Seaside, Florida. Duwani uses the small town as his model because he thinks the suburban model has failed. He says suburbs have the same things that towns have, but in the suburbs, everything is compartmentalized. One area for houses, one for stores, one for industry. So what's the problem with that?
Well, the problem is that every human requirement requires a car trip. And that car trip has many negative connotations or implications. One of them is the pollution, of course. Every time you start the engine and run the car, it destroys the ozone. Another one is the hidden cost of having to own an automobile for every adult in the family. I mean, cars cost to own from $4,000 to $6,000 yearly. And that has tremendous, a tremendous negative effect on our lifestyle. Go a little bit further on that, if you were to be paying $4,000 a year for a car, to own a car, that represents a $40,000 mortgage, which could be going towards housing. So the problem is extreme from the point of view both of the environment and of the personal lifestyle of the people.
So what was the original rationale for separating commerce and industry?
Well, there was a time in the 1860s and 1870s when the planning profession, achieved its first victory, which was to separate the housing of factory workers from the factories which polluted. There was a reason to separate that kind of activity, one from the other. But currently, there are very few uses in America that require that separation. Some large manufactories require it. Any activity that requires large trucks should be segregated. But generally speaking, the option of living above the store or near the store, the option of living in the same building where you work, the option of having an apartment in your backyard, all of these options are not unhealthy, they're not damaging in any way, and they should be restored as possibilities.
Now, I recently had a stay at a motel in Maryland, and it was one of these motels on a boulevard where everything's a little mini shopping center.
Mm-hmm.
And I was with my family. We wanted to take a walk.
Mm-hmm.
There was no sidewalk. So
Yes. Our
choices were to walk circles around the parking lot.
Yes.
Or to drive to a shopping mall and walk in the shopping mall, which
Yeah.
is what the family decided to do.
Yeah.
You think this is a typical problem?
That is very common. The more recent the suburb, the more common it is. The older suburbs had more sidewalks and more mixed use. The newer ones are absolutely clean in their separation. The unfortunate part of what you describe is that it happens to many of our kids. Like our kids, whenever they want to spend time in public, to spend time in the public realm, since the street isn't available any longer except for cars, they go to the mall, where their public life is commercialized relentlessly. It's all about buying and buying and buying. There's no way to just be in public with your friends without some kind of imposition of the commercial ethic.
Well, if the suburbs are designed more for cars than they are for people, what are some of the obstacles you think you're up against living in the suburbs in terms of getting from one place to another?
Well, in the suburbs, the obstacles are that there is no way that any road system can sustain everyone driving to every human need. You know, a little old ranch house in the suburbs in a county like Orange County, where Orlando is in Florida, generates 14 car trips a day. And you can't build enough roads to ever solve that problem. And traffic congestion has become the single most important political issue in many areas of this country. People are voted in and out on the basis of whether they will allow or disallow more growth. But that growth isn't debated in an intelligent way in which you say, well, let us consider all the variables and all the options. It's debated on the very simple, single issue of traffic congestion. We don't want more growth because because it's hard to drive around. And so you get many cities in this country who are basically have a stop growth movement, citizen generated, which means that they will never mature. They will never become anything but adolescent cities. There, many cities are in their infancy and will grow no further. Not because growth is negative, but because the type of growth that they have been undergoing is negative. It's the pattern of growth that is bad, not growth per se.
Well, you point out several other social consequences of the suburban reliance on automobiles, and one of them is sexism, that so many mothers are forced to spend their days being chauffeurs
yes.
for their kids.
Yes, since the kids can't get around on their own, if you want your kid to have a life of some sociability and some instruction, you know, you need to drive them around. The kid can no longer have a pickup baseball game. Parents have to call each other to arrange the ball game. Then they all have to be driven to a spot and all picked up later. So what we find is that parents actually become chauffeurs for their children. And because of the way the world it is, the world being what it is, the mothers are the ones who generally end up being the drivers, and they're the ones who give up their careers to enrich their kids' lives. And so it is, the suburb is, at that hidden level, sexist. It is the women who actually give up their careers and for nothing more than driving the kids around, which is profoundly stupid when you see that, when one remembers that there is an alternative, that if these families lived in neighborhoods, the kids could get around on their own.
You keep a file that you call Lost in the Suburbs, filled with stories of people who get into a suburban community and get completely lost. What kinds of stories appear in that file?
Well, they're funny, pathetic stories. There's the one you probably saw is this poor delivery man that took 2 days to find an address. But all of us have experienced the problem of finding someone, an address in these curvilinear neighborhoods. The only way, if you have a friend in the suburbs, the way you find their address is by getting specific instructions of first left, second right, third house on the left. Since it is not a network of streets or a grid where you can find an address, it is a very random pattern. It is virtually impossible to find an address. The related issue, of course, is that there is no... It is not... The related issue is not that these curvilinear streets are not beautiful. You know, don't get me wrong. The suburbs are very often beautiful. The problem is that they do not work at many levels. And one of the levels of failure is the inability to find your way around. It's very stressful to try to look someone up in the suburbs.
Yeah, is the reason for all the curving streets, which are always called lane, you know, in suburban communities, is the reason for that so it would look more pastoral?
Well, originally the reason was to be more sympathetic to nature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the streets would curve along with the topography. But it has since become a sort of a dopey habit because, for example, in Florida, when the land is perfectly flat, the planners still draw curvilinear streets. And there are reasons to do that, but none of the good reasons are currently in place. And all we inherit are the negative repercussions. It's so complicated. Like if you were to right now to buy a map of Miami in the gas stations, you would find that the map makers have entirely given up drawing the western fringes of Miami, the suburbs. And what you see are just chicken scratches. They've stopped labeling the streets. They've stopped even drawing the streets because it has so completely fallen apart.
Do you think that there's a way to reorganize already existing suburbs, or do you just think that the future lies in building new kinds of suburbs?
Well, I think the crucial element, the immediate crisis, is to design the suburbs which we're building now along the lines of traditional towns so that we do not waste them the way we have been wasting decades of American prosperity with this terrible trash, which you find out in the outskirts of cities. But it is possible to retrofit certain portions of the existing suburbs. For example, it is possible to take the office parks, the open spaces that are between the office buildings in the office parks, and build within them or between them build apartment houses and stores so that we begin getting downtown centers out there in the suburbs. It is possible to do that. It might be possible to retrofit some shopping centers with housing. What is very difficult to change are the current are the housing clusters that exist now, because there are so many homeowners associations and restrictions that apply to them that it is virtually impossible to change anything. I think they're analogous to those, you know, those every once in a while you go to a store and you see one of these insects that has been put into a plexiglass slab. That's what the residential suburbs are like. They're built and then they're fixed forever in plexiglass by the homeowners association documents, and it's very difficult to change anything. So I'm not very hopeful about them.
Tomorrow we talk with Andres Duany about designing alternatives to today's suburbs, modeled on the traditional small town.